The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. So, Chris Ball is going to be in studio, NAU head football coach. You know, Manny Butler is a hell of a good story today. He's at the Combine. Eric did a piece on him that's up on the website at sports360az.com and also on the Brad Sesmatt Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona. All buzz today. If I go through all my social media channels, it's all about Kyler Murray's size. This is the lion season, guys. I'm not going to lie to you sitting here, but I know that if I put on people from the Cardinals or any NFL organization, they're merely playing poker today, they'll say. They are not going to tip their hand, they'll say. They're not stating the obvious. I get it. They're lying, all right? Let's just be straight up with each other. And it's fine. This is how you do business in the NFL. You don't want to say to the media, yeah, we do want to trade Josh Rosen now that Kyler Murray has measured in the exact same size as Russell Wilson or close to Baker Mayfield. There are comps. Today was a very good day, and we're early in the day if you're a fan of the Cardinals because now they have real leverage, if you think about it, with the number one overall pick and what transpired there today. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor. Now, protect what matters most. And you've got to do that through life insurance. Guys, I don't know if you've looked at your personal situation. When was the last time you just said, hey, I've got enough coverage. If you weren't to come home tonight, would you be covered? How about annuities? How about looking at your financial picture? Sagicor is there for you. They're our title sponsor. I am part of their group. They came to me and said, why don't you get your license? I got my license. I've been enjoying helping people out. But you can go through them online at sagicornow.com. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Goody at the Movies will join us as well. AZ Central, Gannett's chief film and media critic, Bill Goody Kuntz. He'll come up at 10:50. But again, Chris Ball here in a few minutes. Yesterday, Eric and I went to Tucson. Some of you, like when we bring up Tucson, you're, well, poor Brad. I kind of like Tucson. I do like it in my rearview mirror. It means I'm heading home, but I don't dislike it. Like, Eric, do you run into people when in your circles that feel like Tucson is the armpit of America?
Yes.
You have that? Well, and I don't get it. Was yesterday bad?
No.
I mean, if you think about what we accomplished yesterday, we got Aaron Rodgers. He was great. I got Kevin Sumlin. He was great. You went down and did a piece. You can tell people if you want or if you want to sit on it.
I'll probably sit on it.
Okay.
I won't let the cat out of the bag.
You won't let the cat out of the bag. That's fine. But it was a good. It's going to be a good piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a former U of A Wildcat.
Yep.
That's as far as I'll go with you.
From Phoenix.
Who's got a Valley tie.
Uh-huh.
So that probably narrows the roster down to you little media weasels that are trying to steal our story, right? Probably narrows it down to like 15 people, something like that. But all in all, it was a very productive day.
I would agree with that.
And
anytime I get to spend a day in the car with you, because I barely talk to you, so it's great that you and I can, you know, spend the day together. And you took me to EG, so thank you. It was amazing.
The company treated big yesterday. Eric and EG's kind of go hand in hand.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't do EG's, it's kind of like, well, it's back in the day, was it Molly's Closet? In Flagstaff, that we used to go to with the Suns back in the day.
I think it was Granny's.
Granny's Closet. We go to Granny's. When the Cardinals would train up there, we'd do shows from Granny's. When I was at Channel 3, we'd go over there. Now there's a Marley's up there, and we know the Marley's people very, very well. So there's places there, and it was just good to get out of the valley, I felt like.
It was fun.
Make sure you're productive. You know, Chris Ball's in the studio. Is there anything you want me to talk to him about today? What do you want to hear me talk to him about?
What intrigued him the most about this job at NAU?
Because here's how I handle interviews like Chris Ball, okay? The paper is blank. And it's just because I want to have a conversation with them about they're doing some cool things up there. Like, did you know that they're going to have a practice/scrimmage at Chandler High School?
Oh, I did not. That's cool.
You did not
cool.
know that. Right.
That's
I think
a
it's
good
very
idea.
Cool. Yeah, it's a very good idea. So, you know, the whole thing with facilities and all that stuff, that's great. But here's a guy that was at ASU. He goes over with Mike to Memphis, Mike Norvell, and now he's here. So I want to talk to him about that. But I just, if you're in my ear telling me, are you going to talk to him about this or that? I'm just going to have a conversation.
Okay, well, He has
two good quarterbacks.
That's never a bad problem.
No, that's a good place to inherit. Where are you at on Kyler Murray today?
He's short.
You're still in this mode, even though he measured in. If you didn't hear the news of the day.
And the sun is hot.
Yeah, the sun's hot.
Well, I don't even know, like, wow, he's 5'10". Yes, he's been 5'10" for quite a while. And now he got his official measurements, and he's 5'10". Okay, let's talk about it.
5'10 and an eighth. Now, does the eighth make a difference?
No.
All right. He's 207. So he was 195, according to his agent, at the end of the season.
Yep.
So when we're talking with Steve Keim or any of these scouts, Terry McDonough and those guys, do you think it's going to make any difference at all that he's at 207?
Nope.
With them sitting there with a number one overall pick?
Nope.
So do you take Kyler Murray? I voted for him as a Heisman. I'm a Heisman voter, so I voted for him for Heisman. And now he's sitting there as a number one overall pick in the draft, according to many, many people. Do you trade Josh Rosen and get another, get a second first round pick?
Of course not.
Or do you take Bosa and keep Rosen and that's that? Or do you trade down two or three spots?
Yes.
And you accumulate lots and lots and lots of picks.
The
and you
let Bosa go away. The hype machine has officially started yesterday with Steve Keim saying that Josh Rosen is our quarterback for now, which is just the biggest bunch of BS. Like, they're not trading Josh Rosen. Cliff Kingsbury said 2 weeks ago he's our quarterback. Guess what? He's a quarterback guy. Who am I going to listen to?
When we saw, or I saw the piece of video of Steve Keim saying, yeah, Josh Rosen is our quarterback for now. All that is sitting around in Tempe for the last few weeks saying, how can we get the message out any louder or clearer that we want the phone to ring? It's kind of like Mike Mayock yesterday. This has been making the rounds. I don't know, Eric, if you saw this one or not, but Mike Mayock was in a group setting, and they were asking about quarterbacks, and he was talking about Derek Carr over and over and over. And then somebody at the end said, you know, is he your quarterback for the future? And his response was along the lines of, well, you know, if the right offer came along.
Which is, and in that case,
in that case, at four with their pick.
Of course. I mean, the Jets are trying to trade down. If I'm the Cardinals, I'm doing everything in my power to get out of that number one pick.
Okay, so I was not as fascinated with the combine stuff with Keim yesterday as I was with Adrian Wojnarowski absolutely annihilating the Suns yesterday. Adrian Wojnarowski, if you're not familiar, is the leading authority NBA insider without question for many, many years. He was at Yahoo. He went over to ESPN. Yes, ESPN has a relationship with the NBA office. They're never just going to kill them all day long. When Adrian Wojnarowski speaks, it is termed a Woj bomb, W-O-J bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday tweeted, and he never tweets about the Suns because they have not had a playoff game since 2010. I'm not making this up. May 29, 2010 was the Phoenix Suns' last playoff game. And those of us that have been here for 25, 30 years know full well how unacceptable that is. Wojnarowski tweeted yesterday, the Phoenix Suns are in a spiral in almost every way. He then tweeted a lot of raised eyebrows at Phoenix and how they're going about business right now and how they're operating right now. He also wrote, too, that they have cut back on scouting staff. They are clearly in line once again to have a top pick in the draft. So it's one thing if you're the Cardinals and you run into the ditch, you're rebuilding after Carson Palmer left and other players left. It's another if you haven't had a playoff game for a franchise that never missed the playoffs, that had everybody's imagination. And the last time you had a playoff game was in 2010. So this has caused a lot of social media buzz, and I don't react to everything on social media. I think that's dangerous. I think you just run into the same old stuff over and over and over. But when you have someone of this magnitude who's tied into the league office and he puts out there that the Suns are in a spiral in almost every way, you have to wonder if Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, is starting to look at the Phoenix situation and say, much like he did in Philadelphia, where, oh, by the way, he brought Jerry Colangelo in to fix it, that the league office is going to get involved with the mess that is here in Phoenix. Because that's just not something that Woj is going to wake up in the morning and say, I think today I'm going to talk about the Suns. He crushed them. And they host New Orleans tomorrow night. On the college football front, as mentioned, Chris Ball will be here with us up on the set here momentarily, the NAU head football coach. He's here in studio. And then you'll see him over on the Football AZ show on Fox. Tonight is the spring football game for Arizona State. It's really interesting. I was talking to Kevin Sumlin yesterday about the timing of ASU's spring football game versus the start of spring practice for U of A, and I'm going to talk to Chris about this as well. I think in Herm's case, it's we want to get right back out on the field. We have these four young quarterbacks. This is what they've said publicly. We want to try to work through this. If there's any injuries or anything like that, we can push that back and have them ready in time for the start of the season. One of many reasons they've given. Kevin Sumlin's deal is, well, we like having our spring practice. And what's he going to say? He's not going to say we hate this position. And I'm not doubting Kevin on it. I think it's a rational answer on his part. It's a pretty traditional spring workout for us. We have a quarterback in place in Khalil Tate. Someone asked him if there's a quarterback competition. He said, no, Khalil Tate's our guy. All right, we'll see. But in terms of spring games for ASU tonight, like I'm going to go. I like going to spring games. I like being out there. Some of the spring games have just turned into made-for-TV, dancing around on the field, and there's not a whole lot of action. But I do think because there are these four QBs, and there's some other players that I want to take a closer look at and visit with, that there is intrigue around tonight. I don't know if they're going to draw flies. I don't know how many people are going to show up out there. They've not really made a big deal out of it. That's not the worst thing in the world. So there's that going on. The really underreported story, as we wrap up the first segment, we'll have Chris Ball with us in a couple of minutes, is the Coyotes are a point out of the playoffs, and they host Vancouver tonight. We have not had a team in the winter sports here in Phoenix, which is the most crowded sports market in America that nobody knows about. Think about it. We have spring training going on today at all, 10 different locations. We have a senior PGA event going on in Tucson that Eric and I were at yesterday, the Cola Guard, with lots of big names. We have a basketball team that usually makes the playoffs. They haven't since 2010 in the Suns, and the Coyotes haven't had the playoffs since 2012. In fact, they're only a game out. The other night at the Shane Doan retirement, it was busy. It was a busy arena. It wasn't packed. They have Vancouver tonight, a team that they're chasing. This is really interesting, a really interesting stretch to me. With five home games in a row for the Coyotes as to what the attendance will be. And then you have ASU basketball at Oregon and U of A against Oregon State. And ASU is one of those bubble teams. We had Howie Schwab on yesterday from FS1, their bracketologist. And he doesn't believe ASU should be in, so they're in play tonight. So there's a lot going on. We shift gears next. Chris Ball up on the desk, Northern Arizona University head football coach in season number one. Their spring ball gets underway next month. That's next after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ Show on 12 times per week, before and after the Suns, Diamondbacks, and Coyotes. Stay with us. So you need to put on your calendar the date of March 26th, and you need to head up to Flag. Well, maybe you want to give Chris Ball a couple days to work out the kinks. I don't know. The first-year head coach of Northern Arizona University football, the Lumberjacks. He joins us in studio. Of course, many of you remember Chris from his time with Todd Graham at Arizona State. He went with Mike Norvell to Memphis. And you end up in Flagstaff, and it's been a couple of months, so let's just get caught up on how it's been. Thanks for coming in, first and foremost.
Thanks for having me.
How has it been so far?
It's been awesome. I mean, yeah. Everything I thought it was, and then some. You know, I wouldn't have left my situation in Memphis with Mike only for a special situation. I think this situation is a great opportunity to change some lives. Mm-hmm. And Mike Marlowe, our AD's, done a fantastic job putting together his staff over the last year. And looking at the opportunity, I thought, looking at places to be a head coach, and we've had a lot of success. We had a lot of success at Memphis, and this opportunity popped up, and I thought, you know what, you can go there and have a great life, mm-hmm. living in Flagstaff. You got a great recruiting base in the state of Arizona, and Southern California just a short drive away, and I thought this is a great, great opportunity to change some lives, and it's been great. I mean, every morning I wake up, jump out of bed. Hired a great staff. Got a great staff and a great sell. You know, I've always had my eye on that job. I always thought it was a gold mine of a job. Mm-hmm. But there's a good base there. You know, Coach Sowers has done a good job providing a base. And now, you know, we're gonna go be very aggressive in the state of Arizona recruiting wise. And you know, come April 15th, that first day we can get out, we're gonna have 11 coaches in the state of Arizona recruiting.
Wow.
And then come back on that Wednesday and do the same thing. We've already offered 26 guys in the state of Arizona, which we've sort of took the attitude of being really, really aggressive. Mm-hmm. And we're going to show everybody that we're going to do it with Arizona kids. And again, that's what, again, what makes a job attractive. You know, I've seen the football in the state of Arizona, high school football, grow. You know, I was back at Washington State back in 2000. We had a guy down here recruiting. And every year it's gotten better and better and better. And, you know, I attribute that to the coaches, you know, the high school coaches. They're very well connected to each other. They're all on the same page. They're always wanting to make it better for the high school athlete. And they've done a tremendous job of building the high school football in this state. And everybody in the country recruits out here.
Yep.
Everybody.
No, that's right. That's
everybody.
Right.
Every conference is here. And, you know, we need to be right in the middle of it.
If this person doesn't come into your life, you're not sitting here across from me today. Who is that person?
My dad. He's the one that got me. My dad was a high school coach and head college coach. And this is all I've ever known. You know, it's all I've ever wanted to do. And the thing that rings in my ear every day, I wake up, do this because you had a chance to make a difference in somebody's life. Don't do it because of the money. Don't do it because of the fame. Do it because you got a great platform to help young people accomplish their goals. And it rings in my ear every single day. And that's why I do what I do.
Okay. When did you come close to saying, I can't do this? Because most every coach hits that. Am I ever going to get to that level? Because I want to be the head guy, and it's not happening. Did you ever have that moment of, okay, I want to be a coach, but maybe I need to pull the ripcord on this profession?
Never. You know, it never
close?
Has.
Never
it's
close?
Been, you know, we've all, you know, you've had those thoughts.
Sure.
Which way we go? Where am I going? And
I think everybody does, Chris.
Yeah, and it's our profession, if you make decisions based on the wrong reasons, it can drive you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing that rings in my ear every day is, hey, I'm doing this because I got a chance to make a difference and coaching a great, being around a great game and coaching a great game and being around great people. And I've kept that in perspective, and that's pretty much kept me grounded. You know, I've had, when I was looking at this job, a good friend of mine said, hey, take the job for the right reasons. Don't worry about the money. Mm-hmm. You take this job for the right reasons and it'll work out. And I've stuck with that and, kept that my motto through this, you know, 34 years of coaching college football, and it's really kept me from jumping, well, maybe I should go do something else. You know, maybe I'd go into sales and work 60, 70 hours a week in sales. Shoot, I'd be a millionaire probably,
mm-hmm.
You know? And, but that's not what I want to do. You know, I don't think I'd be satisfied. And so when I get up in the morning, I'm looking to, you know, not only just change our players' lives and help them become better husbands and fathers and provide, you know, make sure that they're going to be productive citizens. You know, the people around me, you know, I get an opportunity to change our staff and help our staff accomplish their goals.
I tell people a changed life will change your life.
No question.
So if you can change a life through coaching, so I think we're very like-minded mm-hmm. on that. If you were to talk about a coach whose style you have come closest to, who would you fill the blank in on that one?
That's a good question, because I've taken a lot of stuff from a little bit of everybody I've worked for.
You're a collector.
I've been blessed to be able to work with a lot of great guys,
mm-hmm.
great men. You know, Mike Price, Mike Shula, you know, Mike Norvell. I mean, I learned a ton from Mike Norvell.
Hard worker,
very knowledgeable.
Without Mike Norvell, N'Keal Harry is not at ASU,
no question.
In my humble opinion.
No question.
Same with Chase Lucas.
No question.
He just pitched a tent, not literally, but.
Mm-hmm. Todd Graham. I learned a bunch from Todd Graham. And that Mike's 4 years with Todd was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I learned a ton from him. But, you know, I think it's an accumulation of a lot of people. The base is my dad. You know, he was a player's coach, but still, you know, wasn't their friend, held them accountable every day, believed in relationships. You know, that's probably where I get my base from. But, Yeah, I've learned a lot from a lot of people and taken pieces from each guy. And that's sort of, I think, has helped me to be a head football coach. Mm-hmm. I've been assistant for 34 years, so I know what, you know, how you can motivate assistants. I know what they like. I know what they dislike. So I can see things coming down the road.
When it's time to say it's time for you to move on to the next job
or question.
To groom. I always tell people, why is it that this school, this assistant coach, we didn't keep him? Because he became a head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a bunch of staff, if you have a staff that has no future head coaches on it, do you really have a good staff? Don't you want a little bit of grit? But you also have to have that guy that is that 30-year guy that's been, you have to have that balance.
No question.
Right? So talk about your staff and how you put it together.
Well, you know, I always thought, you know, when I've taken new jobs, you've always rushed. You try to get the staff together really quickly, and you try to get on the road real fast and get out there. But you know what? Slow down. You know, get the guys that you want. Get the guys that are going to make you better. And, you know, I took my time with it. I had an idea. I had a list. And, you know, 4 days into my list, I had over 800 and something texts. I mean, it's unreal. You talk about overwhelming. I apologize for every head football coach that never called me back when I called them about a job. I apologize. But it's quite a process. But I had in my mind, you know, and the first question I asked is, hey, why do you do this? Well, I want to be the best coordinator, and I want to be the best linebacker coach, and someday I'm going to be this, and I'm going to win a national championship. Nah, that ain't it.
Yeah.
If I heard, well, I do this because I can change the young man's life. You're my guy. The football part of it, obviously, you've got to know your stuff. But that part of it, people that believe in relationships and people that believe in changing lives, mm-hmm. and they mean it, and it comes from the heart, those are the guys I hired. And I got a great mixture. You know, I kept the two FLU grads, which they held it together, recruiting force mm-hmm. down here.
Great people.
And I've coached with Robin before. Aaron I've known since he was 12. And then I kept Jimmy Beal, who's been there at NAU for 9 years. And those guys sort of held together in a very, very similar philosophy. I felt really comfortable with the FLU grads because I had a really strong relationship with them. And that was a no-brainer when I was looking at the job. So that made it easy, that part. Then I hired Bob Conley, offensive line coach, was with us at Alabama. His most recent college job was at USC, one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. Been coached with him three different places.
How do you convince a guy to go from Alabama or with that resume to come to NAU?
It's hard. It's hard. Because and part of it, too, is, you know, I told him, I said, you're going to have to sacrifice, you know, and –
You're selling future.
Yes.
You're just saying, look, come here and see where this program is. And in 3 years, because things are changing, Chris, mm-hmm. like, not to go on a rant here, but the transfer portal makes your job, I think, at NAU
awesome.
A total win.
No question.
Total win.
No
come
question.
Here because it didn't work out at X, Y, Z,
no
top 25 program. Look at us.
No question.
We got Emmanuel Butler who's at the combine. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. And you sell it. You know, hey, Bob, I can come here, bust your butt. Who knows what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. But at least you're back in it and having some fun and changing lives. And that was sort of my approach with everybody. You know, everybody that's come here has had to sacrifice something. And half the staff I had really good relationships with, and we've always talked about doing this together. And so it was it took some time. I didn't get in a big hurry, but I got the guys I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got the guys I wanted, and you talk about quality people, just quality people, hardworking, and you know we ended up having a really good a good recruiting year, and that's because of those guys. You know, we stick with our model. You know, character, smart, work ethic, tough. And talented, and we didn't just come out here and just throw a bunch of scholarships out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we took our time, we got in some fights. You know, in the recruiting war, you know this. You got to get in some fights,
sure.
man. You got to jump up in them,
sure.
And then sometimes the recruiter, you say, "Well, I'll take this guy because he wants to come." Well, that guy may not be the guy we want. You know, let's get in the fight and see what happens. And boy, these guys jumped right in the fight, and it worked out.
The spring game is Friday, April 26th. I'm going to just go through some dates for the NAU fans. And just the college or high school fan, you don't have to be an NAU alum if you want to just check out college football across the state. I think it's a great brand of football. We talked about Emmanuel Butler, had him on the Football AZ show. It's a great poster for them. We've had Case Cookus and Daniel Bridgegad on at quarterback. They're going to have a scrimmage, though, and I'll talk to you about this, Chris, at Chandler High School on April 13th. How did this come to be, and why Chandler, I guess?
Well, we looked at different spots, you know, and that just happened to be probably a
few players out there.
Yeah, players in that part of the town, and a facility that can manage, you know, 100 plus players, and then a place for our alumni to gather. There was a place that we could gather afterwards. And
Elmer's Tacos right across the street.
Yeah, Elmer's is right there.
You've been to Elmer's?
Oh, yeah, many times. You know, I lived in Chandler when I lived here. Yeah,
that's right.
And, yeah, been to Elmer's. And we got a thing that night at Santan Brewery right afterwards.
Right, about close by.
Yeah.
Right over.
So it worked out that way. And then, you know, I wanted to, for one, create a little bit of adversity for our players, get on a bus, travel, and go have to perform. And then the other one is recruiting. Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, we need to. I can draw. We can draw up whatever we want to draw. If we don't have the players to run it, it ain't worth a darn. So, and then to get close to our alums that are down here, mm-hmm. and give them opportunity to come out and see what we're all about.
A couple other questions. Your recruiting class has 9 from Arizona. Is that about what you would want every year? Close to double digits or double digits?
Double digits.
Yeah.
You know, double digits. We'd like to have more than that, but just coming in late. And we'd offered some kids and gotten some fights and. For different reasons, we didn't get them, or mm-hmm. you know, but which is going to happen. But yeah, we would like to have more than that.
The Emmanuel at the combine, I've mentioned that as a recruiting tool. But you have Case Cookus and you have Daniel Bridgegad. You have some quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and you're not walking into a cupboard as bear mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit? I know you can't see them or work with them day after day right now. But what are you inheriting there?
Well, you know, any time you got a quarterback, you got a chance. And that was another attractive thing with taking this job is that, hey, you know, Case was coming back and Daniel was coming back. And it was, you know, well, there's some guys that can play. And then but any time I feel that you've got a quarterback, you've got a chance to win. And so that was very attractive to me, that part of it. But we've got a lot of the other good players. You know, we've been working. We can work them. They're in the weight room right now. Mm-hmm. We're getting them for conditioning a couple times a week.
And you just can't do football with them?
Just can't do football with them. Yeah. You know, we can meet, do some little XO stuff. But it's what I'm really impressed with is our work ethic. You know, the kids are working really hard. And
they bought in already?
Yeah, they're buying in quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a work in progress. But I am very impressed, very, very impressed where we're working.
What does it take to win within this conference? Because you're going to face that game in early November where it's lousy. Mm-hmm. And does that factor at all into your recruitment of kids? We're not going to be playing in clean conditions all season long. Mm-hmm. We've got to have some guys that can handle that, especially mm-hmm. late in the year. Does that factor in?
Oh, there's no question. You know, we got to practice outside. You know, we got to get out of that dome. We got 3 great practice fields where we're getting 1 turf that'll be done in July. So we got to practice outside. That'll help us. But I think, you know, you stick with those core values, mm-hmm. character, mm-hmm. smart, tough, great work ethic. Those are the things that get you through those adversity. And obviously we're going to be, you got to be talented to play in our league. But I think you stick with those things and recruit that type of kid. I think those type of kids can handle adversity very well. If you're just out there recruiting talent, it doesn't get any better. Mm-hmm. You know, guys that are talented, that have those 4 qualities, get better and they can handle adversity a lot better.
Your athletic director comes from Washington State by way of Oregon. I've always felt that NAU, yeah, it's fine that they play ASU or U of A and they go back and forth, but I've always felt that the schedule could be a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. There's times like UTEP was last year, mm-hmm. but do you see that still remaining the same in non-conference, or do you think you could go out a little bit further?
No, I think playing those 2 schools helps us recruiting-wise because mm-hmm. it gives them another game in the state that their parents get to watch them play. But I think we'll make that up by playing, the Missouri Valley schools as a non-conference game or somebody back, back east. I think 1 is enough. You know, and if you're going to have one, why not play one in your state to help you with recruiting?
First game or second game would you recommend?
Second game.
Second game.
Yeah, second game, get your feet underneath you a little bit. Yeah. And then, you know, second, third game right in there early in the season doesn't hurt you. You know, it actually helps us.
Before I get you out of here, give me a player or two that nobody even knows exists that you're like, Brad. And I'm not asking for the next Manuel Butler, but a guy that is not getting any attention at all and you're thinking, hello, anybody, yeah. Look over here.
Yeah, it's you know, Aaron Andrews, a kid that has really impressed me as far as leadership, and then Anthony Sweeney, kid from De La Salle High School. Those two, you talk about helping us change our culture quickly. Mm-hmm. Those two guys have done a tremendous job as far as leaders and have not batted an eye. They're embracing the workouts. They're embracing the, you know, being uncomfortable. But they have been tremendous in the transition, tremendous. And I'm expecting some big things out of those two kids.
Good stuff. Spring practice opens March 26th. The spring game is April 26th. The scrimmage is April 13th. It's over at Chandler High School. Chris Ball, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Brad.
Chris Ball with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. Now, because I've talked so much about Kyler Murray, I'm sick of it. And we still have, 7 weeks to go talking about the height of a kid and if the Cardinals are going to trade Josh Rosen. I'm very happy to have Bill come on now. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, media critic for Gannett. Yesterday, we were in Tucson, and I saw a couple of TVs in a workroom that were flipped over to the Michael Cohen testimony. It felt a little bit like O.J., and the Bronco going down the freeway. Would you find that to be the same parallel? What did you make out of yesterday?
Maybe if the Bronco chase lasted like 12 hours or whatever. It was sort of like a slow motion car wreck. I think that what happened, I mean, it was fascinating TV. It was great TV. There's no denying it. But just don't, and maybe you do. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. The line has moved so much in the last 2 years that, you know, maybe there's not a line anymore. But at least to me, there's still something striking about somebody under oath in a congressional hearing saying that the president is a racist and a cheat. And that he, while as president, wrote checks to pay off the porn star that he had an affair with. And I mean, it's just, I'm not one of these people that goes around saying, like, this and such cheapens the, you know, coarsens the culture, and
yeah,
you know, we ought to be wearing, like, you know, having laced doilies with our tea every day and stuff like that. I think things evolve, and then certainly culture evolves, but I don't think yesterday was a real high point in democracy.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting about it. So I judge a lot of what I talk about on this show, things that A, interest me, and B, or not necessarily in this order, be what my kids are talking about, because they're in a space where three of them are in their early to late 20s. And all three of them yesterday were wanting to talk about Michael Cohen. And that one of them in particular said that her lunch break went 2 hours because she was so gripped to watching the testimony. I can't find much these days, Bill, that gets a millennial generation that glued to a situation. And it's not just them, it's their friends that were glued to it as well. So I think it did cross a lot of lines yesterday.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that they can tend to do that. I mean, some of these things, I was a really little kid during the Watergate hearings, and, you know, but I mean, everybody watched those, but, you know, that certainly media was different then, and you didn't have a lot of options. But
right.
I do think it's obviously it's what everybody was talking about. And the same way today, everybody's talking about Kyler Murray's height. But if you look at trending, that's up there. That's number one.
Sure it is.
And we've already gotten 27,000 different stories about where Josh Rosen is going. But
did I lose you?
Watching it in some history classes and stuff like that. But don't you wish that people could come together for something a little more positive,
a little more of substance, but I think in the case of like the case of Kyler Murray, and if we're talking about just media interest, right? If we don't talk about just Kyler Murray on this show, if that's all we talk about today, we're going to be just fine. But we're not going to go down some paths of some other things that are going on, and not everybody is interested. I get it. The masses are. But if I don't talk about the Coyotes and how they are in a playoff spot tonight here locally, I'm not reaching everybody. Not everybody gives a rat's about Kyler Murray's height. And I think that's where the Cohen thing yesterday was so fascinating, because it did grip most of the country yesterday. Not everybody's interested in Kyler Murray. Maybe trending now. If Michael Cohen, if there's something new on that front, or if Trump decides to get back with Kim, then that will take over too. Do you know where I'm going with this? It's not just what is trending that we've got to be focused on.
Oh, absolutely. But unfortunately, that is what we tend to focus on now. I mean, because everybody wants a piece of that pie, you know? I mean, if they're talking about Kyler Murray, then I better talk about Kyler Murray.
Sure.
Now Cohen and the summit in Vietnam, I mean, that's actual news. I mean, as you say, I mean, Kyler Murray, nobody really knows what's going to happen for, what is it, 50 days or something, you know? I mean, and even then, you do that thing. Draft night always, in every sport, well, only in football and basketball, because baseball draft's kind of boring, but it always cracks me up a little bit, because everybody's like, yeah, we drafted him, and now we're going to wait 6 months until training camp begins.
Right.
Now we're just going to sit around. But at least the Cohen stuff was legitimate news, because, I mean, there was some stuff that we hadn't heard before. And, yes, I mean, he's certainly a problematic witness and all that kind of thing. But it's still, you know, a guy that was clearly close to the president for a long time. We did a lot of dirty work, you know, before he was president for him. Telling us stuff that is just remarkable to hear.
Talking about Bill Goodicoots, AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic. But it felt yesterday and even today like the Cohen testimony is still Red Sox versus Yankees. My guy's a good guy. This guy's got this agenda. Like, there's no middle ground. There's no, like, common sense. I think you're a pretty common sense guy, Bill, but it's almost like you're screaming into the wind of let's hear both sides and then form an opinion, rather than, no, my team's great and that guy's just a liar, or, wow, that guy's a really bad dude and Trump really is not that great. You know, I mean, it's there's no middle ground.
Well, there is no middle ground, and I don't know that there's going to be there. But there are a couple of people, but one or two people on both sides actually ask questions and stuff. But what you got mostly, I mean, what you got from the Republicans was not one time did they address any of the accusations against Trump. They never mentioned Trump. They just went after Cohen and said, you're a liar. You're a convicted liar. You're going to prison for it. And they trashed him, and they talked about his cheating on his taxes and all this stuff. And, I mean, that's a clear tactic, and that's, you know, that's stuff that people do. And what the Democrats did was say, we believe you because you have nothing to lose and you're telling the truth and all that stuff. And it was just back and forth. What you mostly got were people giving these ridiculous grandstanding speeches.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times this happened, but it was embarrassing. Cohen would start to answer, and like Paul Gosar from Arizona, I mean, what an embarrassment that was. And he's like, hey, I mean, yeah, maybe, but what's the point here? You can go stand on the street corner and hold up signs that say liar, liar, pants on fire. But this is a congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask some questions where you try to get answers? I mean, it's just, it drives people nuts. And oh my gosh, over time, over the course of it, it's just numbing. It's just, here we go again. And that's why if you got, when you got somebody who actually did something like AOC from New York, she's gotten a lot of grief in the, you know, for her first term here. That, oh, she's all about the image, and she's just always, you know, trying to get attention to herself. She was great. she didn't give a speech. She asked substantive questions, and she got out. She didn't, you know, she was in and out, and she did what she was supposed to do. And there were one or two Republicans. The guy that kept asking about what truth does Trump fear most? That was kind of an interesting question, I thought.
But by and large, it's.
The government paid for a really nice commercial for their reelections, because they're just going to cut up what they said and put it in their ads.
That's a good way to put it. The Oscars not having a host, where'd you come down on this one?
I didn't think it was bad. I didn't miss it. I think they cheated a little bit. I think when they brought Amy Poehler and then the rest of them out there, Tina Fey and what's her name? I think in some ways that they were about as close to a host as, you know, that was pretty close to it. But the thing went the thing that cracked me up was all night everybody's like, this is going so fast. You know, maybe they should always do this. They still could not get it done in less than 3 hours.
Right.
And that's what counts for fast. You know? But it was all right. A lot of people complained that there wasn't much entertainment. But, I mean, was it really not? I mean, everybody certainly seemed to enjoy Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. I mean,
that was the highlight. That was a highlight. I mean, yeah. Julia Roberts staring at me in her television, in my television set at the end. I'll take that all day long, but that's just me.
Or Julia Roberts not knowing what to do. She's like, well, I guess it's over.
Yeah, good night. See ya. Thanks for playing. Yeah, I got an Uber to catch.
What do I do here?
All right, so to finish this, where are you at with Kyler Murray? Because you're a sports guy. Where are you at on this with the Cardinals? And what do you think they should do now that he's measured out? He's the next Russell Wilson and all the measurables say he could be Baker Mayfield, and they have Josh Rosen here. Bill, what would you do if you're in Steve Keim's situation?
I think I'd do what they always, not just the Cardinals, but what everybody does. I would lie and lie and lie. I would act like I was interested in him. I would talk him up. I would pretend to shop Rosen around. And then, you know, a couple days before, I would trade the pick. And then get, you know, finally get some line help. You know, I don't know. I guess you lose Bosa that way, but you know, maybe you can get a lot more if you do that. I don't think they're going to get rid of Rosen. I don't. But who knows?
I agree with you. It's the line season. These guys are all liars right now, and they'll tell you that too. Yeah,
it's a weird time right now in sports and in life. I mean, because you know. It's really hard to find the truth right now.
but here's what they'll say to you. We're just playing poker. No, you're lying. If you open up Webster's, poker is a game. Lying is not being truthful. Don't try to tell me you're just doing a poker face. You are bald-faced lying. And they'll never say that. It's like we're supposed to accept it. Well, if you're lying on this, then how am I supposed to trust you on that? Okay. You know, that's kind of where I come down to this.
The term they prefer is bluffing.
Bluffing, yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, I'm not bluffing. This segment is over. I'll see you. See ya. There's Goody. Good catching up with Bill. AZ Central and Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. If you've not been over to the website, it's sports360az.com today. Devin is the sport of speed guy. He does a lot of things here. He's been here a few months, and he's just kind of taking the ball and run with it. But he got the president of ISM Raceway. Next week, NASCAR is in town. So check out his content. Eric Sorensen, as always, senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us. Again, this will repeat for hours and hours. The sponsors that you're about to see, they support us. We are self-funded. We do appreciate them through the years of doing this. Have yourself a great day.